Take your Bibles with me and turn to Acts chapter 16.
We'll start reading in verse number 6 and down through verse number 10. Acts 16, starting in verse 6, says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." You know, at the beginning of Acts chapter 16, we find the Apostle Paul about to head out on what we consider a second missionary journey. The first missionary journey takes place in Acts chapter 13 and 14, where the church comes together and they recognize that the Holy Spirit is doing something special with Paul and Barnabas, and they fast and pray and lay their hands on them, and they send them out to carry the gospel to cities abroad. Acts chapter 13 and 14 then record for us the events of that first missionary journey. Many wonderful things happen. I mean, you find the Roman governor in the city of Paphos is saved. You find the city of Antioch and almost its complete entirety coming out to hear the Apostle Paul preach. And then you find in that same chapter, Acts 13, that the Jews of that city drive the missionaries out, and they continue on to the cities of Derbe and Lystra, where in Lystra the people first want to worship them as gods, next moment stone Paul and leave him for dead outside of the city. Then in Acts chapter 15, just to get an idea of the context of these verses, we find the council at Jerusalem, where the apostles, the elders, the church, they all come together to discuss this idea of circumcision. Was it necessary for these new Gentile converts to be circumcised? That's what they're discussing at this council, and the result that they came to was, as we find in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In other words, they came to the conclusion at that council that salvation is by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Add nothing, take nothing away. Aren't you thankful for that this evening? Salvation by grace through faith, that we don't have to do anything. There is nothing that we can add to it. And so Paul, in Acts chapter 16, begins his second missionary journey. And there are a number of things that we can see by way of introduction. I find the commitment and the courage of the Apostle Paul. You notice there in verse 1, it says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there." Did you notice that Paul begins his second missionary journey in the city of Lystra? You say, well, why do you say that? Well, if you remember back to Acts chapter 14, in the middle of Paul's first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas come to this very same city. And as they're there and they're preaching the gospel, they come upon a man who is crippled, unable to walk. And Paul looks at him, and in the power of God, he says in verse 9 of Acts 14, he says, "Stand upright on thy feet and walk." And the very next verse says that he immediately leapt up and walked. Paul, in the power of God, healed this lame man. And of course, the whole city sees this, and they begin to marvel that such a thing would happen. The Bible says that they begin to worship Paul and Barnabas. They say the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men, and they call Paul Mercurius, and Barnabas they call Jupiter, and they begin to worship those men. And the Bible says that Paul and Barnabas rend their clothes, and they run in and say, "Don't worship us. We're not worthy of your worship. Worship the God who made the heaven and the earth and everything in it. Worship Him. Don't worship us." God is doing great things in that city. But you notice in the same chapter, verse 19 tells us that the Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who had driven Paul out of those cities, come up to Lystra, and they rile up the people and persuade them. Listen, they persuade the very same people that just were worshiping Paul and Barnabas, they persuade them to stone Paul instead. How easily people's minds are changed. And they persuade them, and they stone Paul and leave him for dead outside of the city. Now listen, this is the same city that Paul comes to in Acts 16, verse 1, Lystra. And it's there that he finds Timothy, and Timothy becomes one of his closest companions in the ministry. Now, why do I say all that? Listen, Paul didn't give up when things got tough, when things got difficult, when he faced opposition, when he faced persecution. Paul continued on. He went back to the very same city that had stoned him and left him for dead. Why? Because he was committed to the work that God had called him to do. By the way, friends, I think we understand this evening, but gospel work is not easy work. Sharing the gospel is not an easy task. Fulfilling the Great Commission, which is, by the way, a command and not an option, fulfilling the Great Commission is not an easy task. You look at the unreached people groups of this world, the number of untold millions of people, and we understand that gospel work is not easy work. There will be opposition. There will be persecution. We may face, I was thinking in right now as we go door to door, I don't know what it's like here going door to door, but where I'm from in Nova Scotia, you can knock on a door and you can have multiple doors slammed in your face in a space of an hour. You can have people take what you give them and rip them up and throw it on the ground and say some pretty horrible things to you at the door. And we may face that sort of persecution. But you know, I was thinking that in the way that things are going in my nation of Canada, and I assume in this nation as well, we may face physical persecution in my lifetime for our faith in Jesus Christ. And friends, we must understand that we have been given a work to do, and we must be committed to it no matter what opposition we may face. God has given you a work, God has given me a work, and we must be committed to doing it. You find a commitment of the Apostle Paul, you can find, and we won't spend time here, but the configuration of a local church in 4 and verse 5, what a great thing. It says, and so where the church is established in a faith, that word established means to be strengthened or to be growing. They were a growing church, but not only that, it says they were increasing in number daily. You know, it ought to be our desire not to stay stagnant where we are, not to get to a certain level and say, there, we've made it. We've arrived, we're here, we can take it easy. It ought to be our desire to do more, to be more, to give more than we ever have before for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, what kind of church would this be if it was one that was continually being established in the faith, continually growing, continually being strengthened, and not only that, but increasing in number daily. And so we see these things by way of introduction, but where I really want to focus our attention is in verse number 6 through 10, and specifically verse number 10. And the question I want to ask at the outset is this: how do you react when God calls you to do something? When God calls you to a work, whatever that might be, maybe it's to give more, maybe it's to do something, maybe it's to serve a certain way in this church, maybe it's to share the gospel with a family member, a coworker, a friend, whatever it is, when God calls you to do something, what should our response be to those things? Verse number 6 says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, Paul is moving westward and northward, visiting churches from the first missionary journey. And he begins to move further west into the region of Asia. This is really the area of Turkey today, consisting of Miletus and Thyatira and Sardis. And Paul is heading in that direction, going that way, where he would eventually go on his third missionary journey. But at this time, as he's heading that direction, the Holy Ghost forbids him from going that way. I don't know about you, but I would like to know how that happened. How the Holy Ghost said, no, I don't want you to go that way. Maybe it was in a dream, a vision, or maybe it was personal circumstances or health problems. God uses all those things in our lives. Whatever it was, I do know that Paul was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. When the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go that way, then Paul said, okay, where do you want me to go? You know, I was thinking, often God says no to us and we don't want to hear it. We want to do the things that we want to do and we want to go the places that we want to go. And friends, they may be good things to do. And Paul would eventually go this direction, see many people saved, but when the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want you to go that way, no, I don't want you to do that, then we ought to say, okay, Lord, then what will you have me to do? Just direct my steps. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Just show me what that is. Verse number 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Paul here comes to Mysia, are bordering on the Aegean Sea and attempts to go immediately north in the land of Bithynia. But once again, the Spirit says, no, don't go that way. Notice, even after the Lord said no twice now to Paul, he continues on in verse number 8. He comes passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, a city as far west as you could possibly go. Really a coastal town sitting on the Aegean Sea. And as he's there, and as he's in communion with the Lord, we find in verse number 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. You know, when we began to feel like the Lord was calling us into missions, you remember in our video that we had served at our church in Nova Scotia for 7 years, a little over 7 years, and we felt like the Lord was moving us into the area of missions. Really, our prayer was that God would confirm it in our lives by His Word. You know, it was a little bit of a move for us. I had really grown up in Nova Scotia. We lived there for our entire married life. My pastor and I interned under my former pastor, Pastor Dodd, and really became best friends over our 7 years together. My mom and dad live 5 minutes down the street. My two brothers and two sisters, with the exception of one, live 5 minutes up the street. We had just moved into our third home. I know that sounds funny, but when we were married, something we wanted to do was kind of flip homes. I don't know why we decided to do that, but we had done that once, done it twice, and we moved into our third home with the idea of doing that. And after we had kind of fixed it up a little bit, we said, okay, we're not doing this anymore. We're comfortable where we are. We're staying here. By the way, don't ever say that to the Lord. I am done moving is what I said. And the Lord said, really? We have different plans for you. And so we were comfortable where we were. And to move from there to the mission field, we said, Lord, we're willing to do that, but we want you to confirm it by your word. Really, we were throwing out the fleece, if you will. You know, it was amazing. After we had prayed that way, we'd spent some time praying. The very next Sunday, my pastor began preaching in the book of Nehemiah, and he was preaching on the very first chapter. He just started a series, and he was talking about how Nehemiah left the comforts and the position and the prestige at the palace to go and build the walls in Jerusalem. And his application at the end was something like this. He said, sometimes, in order to do a work for the Lord, you need to be willing to leave the comforts of home and family and friends to go and do what God's called you to do. And it was as if the Lord, in fact, the Lord was, by His Spirit, speaking to us and saying, you want a confirmation by my word? This is it. Week after week, every fear we had, every roadblock that we put up, I mean, how are we going to raise our children on the road? How are we going to teach them in a trailer? How are we going to take four children, ages 5 and under, and travel for 2 or 3 years across the states? We kept putting things up, but the Lord just kept answering over and over and over again those questions by His word. By the way, that's how you know God is in it. When God answers those questions by His word, then you know it's of Him, and there's a peace and an assurance that this is what God wants us to do. And so we knew that God was calling us into missionary service, but we honestly didn't know where. We literally sat with an open map in front of us and said, God, we'll go anywhere. Just show us where you want us to go. And again, I don't have the time to go through all of the ways the Lord led us in really miraculous ways. And we started out to the island of Martinique, and we went there and did a survey trip. Martinique is the island right above St. Lucia. And we spent some time with some missionaries that we supported in St. Lucia and did a survey trip in Martinique. And the Lord just, the whole time we were there, He just kept saying, no, this isn't where I want you to be. And really, as He was closing the door there, He was opening the door to St. Lucia. And, you know, it was back on the island of St. Lucia that we walked some of those streets. And we saw you saw in the video, just the hopelessness there of life without Christ. And there were streets that we walked, really just a number of houses on the street, if you can call them that, with children running around whose parents had left them and abandoned them. And when we walked and we saw the need, and there are communities all around St. Lucia that will never hear the gospel unless someone goes and personally tells them. And we saw those things, and the Lord was just calling us in that direction and moving us that way. And really, all we want is to be where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. That's all that we desire. And friend, you ought to ask yourself that same question this evening. Am I where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do? You know, we all ought to ask ourselves that question. And if you can't answer yes to that question, I am where God wants me to be, and I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, then you need to heed these words of Acts 16:10. In fact, we all need to heed these three words in Acts 16:10. There's really three words that jump out at me as I read this verse. And the first word I see there in Acts 16:10 is the word immediately. Immediately. It says, and after he had seen a vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. This is the Greek word euthetos, and it means directly or straightway or at once they endeavored to go into Macedonia. Matthew 4, verse 19, Jesus comes to Simon and Andrew, the two brothers, as they're fishing and casting their nets into the sea. And he looks at them and he says, follow me, in verse 19, and I will make you fishers of men. The very next verse, it says in verse 20, and they straightway, that's the exact same word, they immediately, directly, at once, they left their nets and they followed him. There was no hesitation. There was no, well, Lord, just let us finish up here. Just let us bring in all these fish and let us mend our nets and let us sell our boats and then we'll follow you. It was immediately, God said, follow me, and immediately they followed him. And as soon as Paul heard the call of God to go to the people of Macedonia and bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ, immediately, right away, he prepared to go. There's no hesitation. There's no thought of, well, I'll do that later. Just let me finish up here where I am, and then I'll go immediately. Parents, how many times have you told your children that anything but immediate obedience is what? A disobedience, right? Anything but immediate obedience is disobedience. And we are, of course, you've seen my children. They are small. We're working through these things with our children. And we have one. I won't mention names. I don't know if he's in here or not. He's the one that's not in here. He's gotten really good at this. You know, we'll ask him to do something. You know what he'll say almost every single time? He'll say yes. He will. He'll say the right thing with his mouth, but he won't do it. Almost every time, we're working through this with him. We'll say, hey, why don't you come here? And he'll say, okay, Daddy, and he'll keep on walking the other direction. And we have to teach him that anything but immediate obedience is disobedience. You can say the right thing. You can say you're going to get to it. But if you don't do it when I ask you to do it, you're disobeying. Friends, when God calls on you to do something, God calls on you to meet a need somewhere in the church. God calls on you to share the gospel with that person that you're speaking with. And you say, Lord, I'm not quite ready for that yet. I'll get to it. Friends, that's disobedience. Not obeying right away. The word immediately means no procrastination. And aren't we good at procrastinating? Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And the emphasis is there, do it now with thy might. It goes on to say, for there is no work, for there is no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Do it now while you have time, immediately. The second word is the word endeavored. It says, after he had seen a vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. This is the Greek word zeteo, and it means to be determined to do something, to be resolved to do something, to seek out, to demand, to crave to do something. In other words, Paul and now Luke, who had joined him, and all those that were with them, determined to do or resolved to do exactly what God called them to do. They worked at it. It wasn't some passive willingness and them sitting back and saying, well, if the Lord does this or the Lord brings these things together, then we'll go. Then we'll obey. No, this was work. They worked at it. And as I said at the beginning, gospel work is work. It takes a resolve in our hearts. It takes a determination to do what God has called us to do. And can I just say this to you this evening? You know, I believe you can write this down. You can count on this. When God calls on you to give something, when God calls on you to go somewhere, when God calls on you to do something, somebody will tell you that you can't do it. There will be trials. There will be opposition. There will be difficult situations. Isn't that what we learn from the whole book of Nehemiah? God called Nehemiah to do a work, and the whole way along, Nehemiah faced opposition. Opposition from without, opposition from within. He continued, listen, if God wants you to do something tonight, then the devil is against it. And he'll do whatever he can to keep you from doing what you know that God wants you to do. You know, he doesn't want you using your missions money to send missionaries here and across the world. He doesn't want you giving your time in prayer. He doesn't want you surrendering your children to the mission field. He'll do whatever he can to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. We need to endeavor. We need to be determined to do what God has called us to do. Work at it. Let me give you one more word, and we'll be done. And that's the word assuredly gathering. And I understand that that's two words. It's one word in the Greek. So I'll get away with it that way. Assuredly gathering, it's the word sumbabadzo, and it means to join together. It has the idea of causing people to come together and unite, to have the same opinion, to be of the same mind. In other words, Paul and Luke and all those that were with them, they sat down and they all came to the same conclusion. They were all of the same mind that this is what God wanted them to do. They knew it. Now, this is what I said earlier when I talked about our call. It wasn't just an emotional feeling, though that's definitely part of leaving and going, but it's more than emotions. It's a complete knowledge, a complete surety that this is what God wants us to do. You know, I know it. Amanda knows it. Our home church knows it. Lord willing, those people that we meet along the way can see that they all come together and see that this is what God wants us to do. And so they went. And they took the gospel to the people of Macedonia. And friends, I wish I had the time to go through and show you what God did as they were obedient to his call. I mean, you find that Lydia was saved, the Philippian jailer and his family, churches started in Thessalonica and Berea and Athens and Corinth, all because Paul immediately endeavored to go, assuredly gathering the Lord had called them to preach the gospel. So friends, let me ask you in closing this evening, what about you? What about you? Can I just say that God is calling every single one of us here this evening, every single one of us in this room, to full-time service? I don't necessarily mean that God is calling you to be a pastor or be a missionary, though he may be doing that in some hearts, and we would thank him if he would do that. But what I'm saying is that God is calling you to serve him full-time with your life wherever you are. Whether it's a school, an office, a warehouse, at home, wherever you are, God is calling you to follow him with all of your life. I believe God is also calling us to give more to his service. You know that God wants to stretch and increase your faith. One thing that we've learned on this deputation trip is that God wants to stretch and increase our faith. And you know, friends, it's not an easy thing when you're going through it, but when you look back, we're amazed at what God has done. You know that God wants you to give more than you think you can so that he can show himself strong through you? Know that God is also calling us to pray more this evening? Oh, well, we could speak about prayer. The Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know that prayer can never and should never be finished till there are laborers in every harvest field of this world. And friends, honestly, we're a far ways away from that. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Maybe God is calling you to go, to give your life for his service. You know, 2 years ago, just before that missions conference, I would have never thought that this was God's plan for my life. We had it all figured out. We knew exactly what we were going to do and where we were going to go, but God said, I have a different plan for you. Maybe God is calling you here this evening to go. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do, whether it's some service in a church, whether it's giving something, whether it's doing something, whether it's going somewhere, will you do it immediately? Will you endeavor? Will you work at it? And will you be fully convinced in your mind that you are where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do? Listen, friend, if you'll heed these three things, you'll focus on these three words, you do these three things, then I promise you that God is going to use you. God is going to get all the glory for it because he's going to do it in and through you. Let me just say this in closing and we'll be finished. And I can say this with all my heart, that friends, there is nothing greater in all this world than to be a part of what God is doing. There is nothing like it in all this world. You say, is it hard? to leave family and friends and all those things behind and go to a foreign field and minister there. You know, my wife would never say this, but I'll say it for her. Avery was born 2 weeks before we started deputation. The day after she was born, we went home and had a giant yard sale and sold everything that we owned in our house. 2 weeks later, we sold our house, got in a car, and traveled from Halifax, Nova Scotia, down to Huntsville, Alabama for our first deputation meeting. And yes, we were crazy at the time. We've learned a little bit since then, not much, but a little bit. I don't say that so that you'll pity us. I say that to say this. There is nothing else in this world I'd rather do. There's nowhere else in this world I'd rather be. If I could do it all over again, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because to be a part of what God is doing, there's nothing like it in all this world. And friends, when God calls you to serve, when God calls you to work, whatever it might be, will you do it immediately? Will you obey right away? Will you endeavor? Will you work at it? And friend, will you say in your mind this evening and in your heart that you are where God wants you to be and you are doing what God wants you to do? Listen, if you can say those things, then God is going to use you and he'll get all the glory for it.